Okay, so just a little bit to kind of tweak your interest. I think Roxana is taking the place of Liz as my inspiration for sermons because she sent me a question today, and that always sets my mind racing. And I usually wind up writing a sermon for it. And so next week, we're going to be looking at some very interesting things. Tonight, we're looking at 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 18 to 25. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but it's God's power to us who are being saved. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and I will set aside the understanding of the experts. Where's the philosopher? Where's the scholar? Where's the debater of this age? Hasn't God made the world's wisdom foolish? For since in God's wisdom, the world did not know God through wisdom, God was pleased to save those who believe through the foolishness of the message preached. For the Jews ask for signs, and the Greeks seek wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to the Jews and foolishness to the Gentiles. Yet to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ is God's power and God's wisdom, because God's foolishness is wiser than human wisdom, and God's weakness is stronger than human strength. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you that we're here tonight. We'd ask you to bless us and guide us and go with us. And honor our commitment for being in church instead of watching the Super Bowl. Go with us as we go out into the world again and help us to share your good news with everybody we come in contact with. In Jesus' name, amen. Actually, of course, I've been checking on it, but at any rate.
Who's playing?
The Tampa Bay Buccaneers and the Kansas City Chiefs.
Yeah.
So.
I'm surprised they still call them the Kansas City Chiefs.
I know, we had a good
They are complaining. There are some people who are complaining about that, but it is. So the background of this is that the church at Corinth was having a lot of divisions. I did a sermon on those divisions way back. And that was when Pat decided this was going to be who she was going to marry. Wise decision. Each of the people thought that he was better than the others, that he knew more than the others. And once again, they're all brand new Christians, babies in the Lord. They didn't know anything, hardly. But they formed factions by saying, oh, I love Paul. Oh, well, I love Apollos. Or I love this guy or that guy. You know, and like that would be today. Oh, I like Greg Laurie. Oh, well, I would rather have Franklin Graham. Or what, you know, doesn't matter. The message is the same. And that's what Paul told them. But they had blocks amongst their statuses. They felt they could not communicate to the better educated because they were going to come up and they were going to say, oh, I'm a philosopher, I'm a scholar, I'm this, I'm that. You don't know anything. I have experienced this, okay? And I have told people, okay, that I am not a master of divinity or any of that stuff. I have a master's of information systems management. But I am a PhD in learning what my dad taught me about the Bible. And he was about the greatest biblical scholar I've ever encountered. So that's what got me where I'm at now. The problem is that the gospel goes against prevailing wisdom. And even today, we hear this. Oh, that makes no sense. Or people will sit here and they will say, oh, you guys are so intolerant. And so we try to come up with examples. Okay, when we were in Bremerton, the Manette Bridge, which went from East Bremerton to regular Bremerton, was in bad shape. So I made the example that, well, what if Manette Bridge just fell? And you're coming down whatever the street was, I can't remember now, and you don't know this. And so you just make the turn and go, and thank you very much, you're now in Dyess Inlet. So if somebody's standing there, right at the opening, going, don't turn, keep going, don't turn, is he intolerant? Telling you don't go there? No, he's trying to save your life. That's why Christians tell everybody they see about Jesus, because we don't want these people going to hell. Mm. Now, there's a famous atheist named Penn Jillette from Penn and Teller fame. And he will tell you, anybody claims to be a Christian that doesn't try to lead me to Jesus, I'll call him a liar. Because I know what you think. You think if I don't come to Jesus, I'm going to hell. And if you don't tell me about Jesus, that means you don't care if I go to hell. So don't tell me you're a Christian or that you love me. And don't tell me about Jesus. I'll reject it. But you better tell me, because I know what you believe. Really, that's the way to look at it. We're not trying to embarrass anybody. We're just trying to tell them, look, this is the only way to go to heaven. Period. I was actually thinking of following this one with the scripture that says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one can get to the Father except through me. Yeah. But I figured I'd get that all in here. So, and then there were those who were of the higher status. At least they thought so. They felt they did not need to listen because they knew more. They knew so much. And once again, when Jesus was on earth and he encountered these people, he would say, well, if you know so much, how come you don't believe me? If you knew your Bible, you would see this. And once again, John the Baptist sent his people to say, are you the guy or are we messing this up? And Jesus didn't say yes or no. He said, you go tell John what you see. The lame walk, the deaf hear, and the dumb speak, and the gospel is preached to the poor. You tell him that. And John just said, okay, because he knew Isaiah, and he knew that's what Isaiah said. When you see this, that's the guy. And Jesus said, yep. And John said, yep, if that's what they're seeing, that's the guy. That's how you know him. The world cannot know God by wisdom, because wisdom presupposes that I know enough to figure out if God's true or not. I don't. Okay? If I could understand God, I would have no need of him. Yeah. I've never been able to find out who said that. It's a famous quote that I've never found the actual credit for it. But it was, if I can understand God, I'll have no need of him. Yeah. But I can't understand God. Karl Barth said that every religion except Christianity is man saying, I can reach up and grab God. He always falls short. Christianity is God saying, I'm going to reach down and get you. And he has a very long arm. You must have simple belief. Now, simple belief very often comes by faith, and faith comes by seeing what God can do. Paul says in another place, people come to Christ because they hear, and the way they hear is because somebody tells them, and the way somebody tells them is because somebody sent them. That ought to be just engraved at our missions agencies. Somebody has to send them. And somebody has to be sent. And when they get there, they got to tell everybody they see. And our missionaries, I know because I've encountered them. That's what they do. Well, what does each group actually want? Well, it says Jews want signs. Okay? Go do a miracle for us. You read through all four of the Gospels and you see it over and over again. John, you don't have so many of them asking for a miracle, but you have Jesus doing miracles because John knew that's what people wanted to see. That's why they believe. They say this is supernatural. This is outside my realm of reference. This must be God. And Greeks actually codified that. They said everything happens because of something causing it. But if you start back, what set it all in motion? And they said that is the uncaused cause, which is by definition God. Now they didn't know who God was or what he was, but they know he has to be there. Stephen Hawking at one point, now when he died, he claimed to be an atheist, but at one point he made the statement that God is not optional. And he used that same reasoning. He said there had to be somebody to set it off. Greeks seek their own version of wisdom. They would sit around, and many of the places where it talks in Acts about him going to places in Greece and places like that, and it said they would spend their days just talking around and sitting around and talking about things and trying to find some new thing to talk about because they want wisdom and they're trying to find it and they're, you know, having limited success. But that's what they wanted. Real believers seek Jesus and him crucified. And the reason him crucified, otherwise, there are other places in Corinthians where Paul says, when I came to you, I didn't come with a lot of fancy talk. All I knew among you was Jesus and him crucified. And the reason that crucified part is so important is because that's the sacrifice. That's what makes you right with God. And once you understand that, and once again, nobody understands it until the Holy Spirit clicks the switch. I've seen people that people have tried to lead a crisis on, and I just walk in and I tell them the four spiritual laws. And all of a sudden, it all made sense. And Holy Spirit just kind of clicked that switch. Bang! This makes sense, boy. What you gonna do? And he would say, I got to get right with God. Okay, we can do that. It's simple. It's a simple prayer. Real believers seek Jesus and him crucified. This causes blockages because people say, that's stupid. That doesn't make any sense. I can't believe you believe that silly. We hear it all the time. To those who are called, however, Christ is God's power and God's wisdom. God's foolishness is wisdom. It says it's foolishness to those who are dying. And the reason is they're dying because they're being foolish. They're not listening to God. God does not have to fit in to our patterns. God is God. And he makes the rules, and we do what he says. He does not do what we say. God's weakness is, in fact, strength. And what that means is, when we're weak,
He is strong.
God's weakness is allowing us to come to him and saying, hey, Dad, I got a major problem, and I need you to help me. And he just goes, okay. Now most good fathers would do that, but that's because they got a weakness for their kids. Okay. I have an especially big weakness for my daughter, and everybody has figured this out long ago. But I have a tremendous weakness for my granddaughters. one at one point came over, and I did not want to do what she wanted. And she looked up at me with these huge puppy dog eyes and goes, "Papa, I love you." And I freaking melted, of course. But if you go to God and say, "Father, I love you, please help me," He's going to go, "You're breaking my heart. I'm going to fix this." So what does this mean to us? Well, in the Bible, God always uses those who are less. He does not use the people with the PhDs and all that kind of stuff. He can. At times he has. But who figured out Pharaoh's dreams? It was not the great and wise people that Pharaoh had. It was this little Hebrew slave stuck away in a prison. Who figured out the dreams from Nebuchadnezzar? It was this little Hebrew that they'd brought from Jerusalem and then tied up. But then he became a very important person because he had the wisdom of God. And he would say time and time again, Daniel said, "It's not me. It's not me. It's God. If I can do anything, God gave it to me." Disciples were common people. They're not religious scholars. Time and time again in the book of Acts, you see people saying, "Where did you come from? You're a freaking fisherman. Where did you get this stuff? How come you know the Word of God so much?" The reason they knew the Word of God is because they spent 3 years under the greatest expert in the history of the world on the Scriptures. And they learned it. And whenever they would have a problem, Jesus would take them to the Word of God and say, "Look at this." And they'd go, "Wow." And they'd grab the Bible and they'd begin reading more. Let me figure this out. If you feel inadequate intellectually, educationally, socially, theologically, good. God can use you. That's actually out of the commentary I used. He chose foolish things to do what he wanted to do. He chose weak things to accomplish the things he wanted to accomplish. He chose lowly things to do high things. He chose what is not to nullify that which is. That's one of those phrases that comes in and people go, "What? I don't understand that." He took something that really isn't there, and he nullified something that is there that's in his way. And he uses us to do it. And we very often look back and go, "Oh, Lord, I can't do that." Look back here. "Could you do that?" "Well, I didn't think so." Guess what? I got bigger stuff for you, boy. This way, no one can ever boast because God did it all, not us. So let's pray. Lord, we thank you that we've been here tonight. We ask you to bless us and go with us. Help us not to worry when we talk to people, because you'll give us any words we need. You'll bring to our mind any scriptures we need. You'll be with us at all times. You know how I tend to lose arguments and lose discussions, but I never do when we're talking about you, because you've embedded in my mind what I need to defend you. Not that you really need defending. Go with us as we go out and help us to lead many people to know you. Help this little church to start growing, not because I want a bigger church, but because I want to see more people going to heaven and just really tick off the devil. In Jesus' name, amen. Thanks for being here, guys. Okay.